welcome you to the Divided Kingdom news program. Two shooters in the late summer. Summer immorality play with the Boy Scouts of America continues. We have a lot of cutting-edge breaking developments and news analysis tonight, August 8th, 2019. Global Star Communications carries us on satellite. WWCR's shortwave carries us from Canada to Costa Rica. Hear us on that shortwave Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on a frequency of 4.840 megahertz. And Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern on 7.490 megahertz. You can also listen to us on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mondays, repeating at 11 p.m. And now we're excited to be on KSTARTalkRadio.com. That's KSTARTalkRadio.com. Not only can you listen to us on KSTARTalkRadio.com on Saturdays at 5 p.m., repeating Sundays at 10 a.m., but you can also use your telephone. Call from anywhere. Dial 1-605-562-5330 and listen. Again, that number is 1-605-562-5330. Mobile phone charges for minutes may apply depending upon your phone plan. You can also download an app from KSTARTalkRadio.com. We thank you, listeners, for your encouraging letters, your steadfast prayers, and your contributions. You appreciate that our program has no commercials and is completely independent of any corporate financing. It's just you and us. To reach us, write to us. Write to Lou Cavarly, and that's spelled C-A-V as in Victor, E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And visit our new website. It's the Divided Kingdom, just DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Check out our archives. You'll especially want to listen to our report last week on chronic wasting disease. First, we're going to take a look at the two shootings and then expose more about Antifa and the little-known but powerful Institute for Policy. If leftist Marxists have their way, America will go into civil war. We are watchmen standing firm at the border, crying out with all other patriots to stop this and preserve our republic. Just in the last few days, these leftists have come to Mitch McConnell's house threatening to stab him and his family. AOC says President Trump is directly responsible for the El Paso shooting.
And Lou, this is Elizabeth Cupid-Cavarly. I have to interrupt that just before we went on the air, we heard that presidential candidate, the former Vice President Joe Biden, was blaming Trump, too, that he was bringing carnage to our country. Carnage, that's a very big word, isn't it?
It most certainly is. You would think he was walking around with a knife in his pants just to stab people. But all of this, of course, is an absurd lie. Just like the lie of a former deep state member that President Trump lowered the flag to honor Hitler. The truth is that the republic is under assault, and we need deepest prayer. As Nancy Pelosi and AOC meet in Guatemala trying to reverse the Trump administration's success at curtailing illegal immigration, we here in the U.S. must keep praying and speaking out. Elizabeth?
And now the headline, of course, for Fox News by Nicole Dara, published August 5th, and of course we're coming to you on August 8th, 2019. El Paso shooting fatalities now at 21 after victim dies at hospital Monday morning, police say. A victim of Saturday's shooting in El Paso died Monday morning at a Texas hospital, raising the number of fatalities in the massacre to 21, police said. The mass shooting, one of the deadliest in modern U.S. history, unfolded at a Walmart around 11 a.m. Saturday. A 21-year-old suspect, Patrick Cruzius, allegedly opened fire in the store, initially killing at least 20 and injuring another 26. And we do have to interject here that InfoWars was reporting that they had heard some reports, again, of some extra men dressed in black. Are we going to be haunted by this questionable specter, multiple shooters? We're going to have to keep our eyes and ears open, because nothing is as it seems. But back to Nicole Dara's article, the Walmart was near capacity at the time of the shooting, with hundreds of shoppers inside, along with 100 employees during the busy back-to-school shopping season. Victims of El Paso shooting included mother shielding son from bullets, teen about to start sophomore year of high school. Cruzius was booked on capital murder charges. Authorities said Sunday his alleged crimes were being investigated as domestic terrorism. Officials were also looking into whether hate crime charges against Cruzius are appropriate. El Paso District Attorney Jaime Esparza said his office will seek the death penalty against the suspect. Quote, "The loss of life is so great. We certainly have never seen this in our community. We are a very safe community," he told reporters at a news conference on Sunday. "We pride ourselves on the fact that we're so safe, and certainly this community is rocked, shocked, and saddened by what has happened here yesterday." Separately, hours later, a gunman wearing a mask, bulletproof vest, earplugs, and carrying a rifle capable of holding at least 100 rounds also opened fire outside a bar in Dayton, Ohio. At least 9 people were killed, and others were wounded. Some victims of the El Paso mass shooting have been identified. Among those killed included a 60-year-old man who was at the self-checkout line while his wife was in the bathroom, a 15-year-old weeks away from starting 10th grade, and 6 Mexican citizens. A mother of 3 who was shielding her 2-year-old son from gunfire was fatally shot. Her husband was too. And Lou, I'd have to think that mother, probably, if she was saved, would have a great reward in heaven, wouldn't you think so?
I would certainly think so.
Giving up her life. That's so different from the Democrat mentality of Governor Northam and Governor Cuomo lighting up the buildings, wanting to kill the living aborted fetuses, the children, the babies that made it through. It's so different. The Christian value there, you see, that mother expressed. She was saving her child. Back to the article, El Paso Mayor Dee Margo said on Fox News Sunday that the city's large Hispanic population played a part of why their community was targeted. "We are the largest U.S. city on the Mexican border," he said. "Our region is a population inclusive of what is Mexico and southern New Mexico of 2.5 million people. El Paso is 84% Hispanic to begin with." Police said investigators were examining a manifesto that may have been written by the suspect and would include a, quote, nexus to a hate crime, but further information was not immediately clear.
And now from nationalinterest.com, the headline reads, Texas Lieutenant Governor warns Antifa, stay out of Texas.
And we're going to interrupt for a moment because you've heard this word pronounced various ways, Antifa or Antifa. And Lou and I have decided that we would rather pronounce it Antifa. As Lou said, this is sort of a made-up term anyway. This is George Soros's billions of dollars. George Soros, who was a Nazi collaborator to sell out his own people in World War II, the Jewish people. Yes, this is his group. And I think it makes a lot more sense to think of anti-fascism, Antifa, rather than Antifa. Antifa sounds like something Bernie Sanders would say, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, anyway, I had to interrupt a little bit. Pick it up, Lou.
The article says, "And Antifa is planning a, quote, border resistance, quote, unquote, exercise involving a militancy training tour that OPEC will converge in a 10-day siege in El Paso, Texas. That's all in quotes. A July tweet from journalist Andy Ngo said. Now, some of this came out, I believe, on August the originally on August the 4th. So, of course, we have more information now. But reading on, it says, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said to Fox News that police have a 21-year-old male suspect in custody, but the police have not confirmed that this suspect in custody is the shooter. Well, now we know that he was. He also added that there have been 15 to 20 casualties reported thus far. The Lieutenant Governor referred to reports that an Antifa group plans to go to Texas and perform militancy exercises at the border. Patrick warned the group to stay out of Texas. And this is in quotes. I was looking at a story recently in the last couple days where Antifa is posting they want to come to El Paso and do a 10-day siege. Here's a clear message to Antifa. Stay out of El Paso. Stay out of Texas, basically. We don't need them coming in on September the 1st. Patrick, a Republican, told Fox News. We didn't need them to begin with before this happened, he said. I would say to Antifa, scratch Texas off the map and don't come in. It's not the time and place for them to come at any time, especially in aftermath of what happened in El Paso. Antifa's promotional image shows border enforcement officers being killed and government property firebombed.
I think that merits a repeating, Lou. We're talking about enemies who are subversive, who really want to put us into a civil war. And if this was a neutral, good organization that loved America, it wouldn't be planning this. Read that again, please, that sentence.
It says, once again, Antifa's promotional image shows border enforcement officers being killed and government property firebombed. And this article was by Annie Ngo. And it seems to me, and Elizabeth, maybe you can help me with this, that Mr. Ngo was attacked by some Antifa protesters not so long ago.
Oh, yes. He was given a brain concussion is what he was given.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Oh, yes. So he has a vested interest, I think, in where Antifa goes and what it does.
I would have to say that that's true. He wants to bring out the truth. All right, that concluded that article, Elizabeth.
And we're now starting to look at some of the mainstream media lies and distortions and exaggerations. And we've already mentioned what Biden has said about Trump causing carnage. And now we have a headline. Again, this is from the Washington Times, Monday, August 5th, 2019, by Valerie Richardson. Myth, narrative of rampant white nationalist mass shootings overblown. Richardson comments, seven times this year a gunman has opened fire in a U.S. public place, killing at least three people. One shooter is suspected of being a white supremacist. One was an Elizabeth Warren supporter, and two were black. Yet fears over rising white nationalist attacks after the El Paso massacre threaten to obscure what studies describe as the big picture about mass killings, that they represent a small fraction of annual gun deaths, that they are not surging, and that about half are committed by whites, not a share out of line with the general U.S. populace. A May 2018 policy brief by the Rockefeller Institute of Government at the State University of New York, which looked at any incident that resulted in deaths or injuries and excluded gang violence or terrorist activity, found that the perception that whites are responsible for nearly all mass shootings is a myth. Despite common misperceptions that all mass shooters are white, the findings indicate that while a majority are, this proportion is just over half of the perpetrators, 53.9%, said the study, noting that almost all were men. More than one in four shooters is black, and nearly one in ten is of Hispanic descent. We need to call out white nationalism for what it is. Domestic terrorism, Ms. Warren tweeted. It is a threat to the United States, and we've seen its devastating toll this weekend. And we need to call out the president himself for advancing racism and white supremacy. Now, President Trump I heard his speech on Monday, August 5th. He said he was condemning racism and white supremacy because they, quote, devour the soul. But you know, listeners, even there, interestingly, on Fox, the Fox woman commentator, in referring to the speech, said Trump condemned white nationalism. What? That isn't what I heard. He condemned racism and white supremacy. You see, to equate these two terms is very unfortunate. The one has a neutral connotation. It's an objective kind of thing. White nationalism. I think many of you listening are supporting white nationalism. All the values that Mr. and Mrs. America hold dear. Our First Amendment rights to speak as we wish, to be able, if we want to defend ourselves, use the Second Amendment to carry firearms. It's in the Constitution. So many things about our country that we love and hold dear come from Western civilization. We were really transplanted from Britain, from Germany. We were all immigrants in the very beginning. If you hear a beep, beep, that is our fire alarm. And I think some dust gets in there, but it's interesting to us. Why would that be happening right now when we're giving you these serious spiritual warnings? Because we're going to get to the point that you will know at least one of the shooters, the Dayton shooter, was really connected with devil worship. He really was into it big time. So we know that we're fighting a spiritual forces war. So why wouldn't this thing be going off? But you know, as watchmen on the wall, we can use it to our advantage under Jesus Christ. You can hear there is a dangerous time, and we're walking very precariously on this wall. And it isn't the border wall. It's the wall between God's holy scripture and the reprobate mind, and America is falling farther into that. Many, many are. But we're coming to you because we know that God hears your prayers. God knows that there is a remnant, and this remnant, he is being merciful to us longer. Lou and I never thought we could stay on the radio for now it's 16 years. 16 years. Just struggling financially to do it. And if some of you want to help us, a little cash, some postage stamps, when we write thank you letters to our listeners, you can write to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. So this article that we have here from the Washington Times, in which Elizabeth Warren tweets out that we have to call out white nationalism for what it is, domestic terrorism. Now, that's very important, too, because as I've alluded to this before on this program, in about the year 2007, Dr. Noah Hutchings, the late head of that ministry, Southwest Radio Church Ministry, it was the longest-running radio ministry, I think. He was hired probably in the 1940s, after he had bravely served in World War II, I think in radio communications in the South Pacific, this wonderful Noah Hutchings later took Bibles to China, made many, many visits, and he began to really point out in the Obama years the leftist, Marxist, communist connections. And he was really a wonderful man. He really had all his wits there when he was approaching 90. And he phoned me one day and he said, you know, you and Lou are going to have to find out about this document. It paints people who believed in the second coming of Jesus Christ and certain other fundamentalist Christian views as domestic terrorists. We're not sure of the name of that document right now, but we well remember that this has been going on for a while. Certainly since the time of the Patriot Act, there is a deep state atheist Luciferian contingent that would dearly like to round all of us up. Now, we've heard something we had never heard before. We knew that in the Bush years, it was said that there were bunkers at Bentonville near the Walmart facilities, and we knew that something was rather ominous, probably, with the deep state. And now we've heard through InfoWars that I guess the truth is coming out that during the Obama administration, there were some facilities being built that were something like living quarters, sort of connected to some of the Walmarts that were closed. And you see, the interpreter says that Obama was getting ready for this mass immigration influx, and these people would be have there. Now, had Hillary won, we know who would have been there next. We know who would have been in those re-education camps, don't we? God has been very merciful. So when Elizabeth Warren says this innocuous kind of thing, we need to call out white nationalism for what it is, domestic terrorism. She's being disingenuous. Who are the domestic terrorists? That's what we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to know about that much more tonight. So now that article concludes, researchers have pushed back on reports that mass shootings are on the rise, stoked by headlines based on the Gun Violence Archive, stating that there are more shootings than days in a year, as USA Today put it. We do hear this number, that we've had more mass shootings than dates. That's not mass killings, which are four or more people shot. Northeastern professor James Allen Fox said on Fox News, half of the time, no one's killed, he said. 75% of the time, at most, one victim. I don't want to say they're not important. They certainly are. But they're not mass killings. People get confused. Are mass killings on the rise? And again, this is an article by Valerie Richardson, The Washington Times, Monday, August 5th. And Mr. Fox, again, said, now, remember the question was, are mass killings on the rise? It's been basically flat, no trend, Mr. Fox said. We have seen an uptick in 2017, 2018, and obviously this year. Whether that will continue, I certainly hope not. I wouldn't conclude that we're facing this big epidemic. And so now, let's continue this story of these shootings.
And now we have, from the Washington Times, Sunday, August 4th, 2019, Ohio gunman described himself as pro-Satan leftist who supported Elizabeth Warren. In the early hours of Sunday morning, rifle-wielding Corner Betts rampaged through a Dayton entertainment district, killing his sister and eight other people and leaving dozens of others wounded before police killed him. He wrote in one tweet, according to Heavy.com, quote, I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come around to understanding, unquote. The breaking news outlet said it had found Betts' Twitter page and verified that the account belonged to the gunman, quote, through multiple verification factors, including a matching tattoo on both a page selfie and prominent news outlets' pictures of Connor Betts, several family linkages to the page, similar photos, including of him and the family dog on the page, and family members' verified accounts, and references to college and growing up in Ohio and Dayton, unquote. The Twitter account painted a picture of a left-wing anarchist and discontent very far from the anti-immigration manifesto posted by Saturday's El Paso gunman. Quote, vote blue, for God's sake, he wrote last November 2nd. On the day of the senator's death, Betts wrote, F. John McCain, and that's in quotes. Though he had a fascination for guns, Betts also was a fan of gun control and blamed Republicans for school shootings. He wrote in December, quote, this is America. Guns in every corner, guns in every house. No freedom but that to kill, unquote. And on the day of the Parkland, Florida school shooting, he tweeted at Senator Rob Portman, quote, hey, Rob, how much did they pay you to look the other way? 17 kids are dead. If not now, when? Unquote. In reference to the 2017 Las Vegas shooting, he wrote, quote, you can kill 50-plus people in inches 600 in 10 minutes with cigarettes, my dude, unquote. Politically, Betts was on the far left. He penned top tweet, or his pinned top tweet, was a retweet of someone else's claim that millennials have a message for the Joe Biden generation. Hurry up and die. And when noting, and
excuse me, Luke, go ahead.
That's all right. When noting that alt-right demonstrators were marching in Charlottesville, a rally that later ended in the death of Heather Heyer, he exhorted his followers, quote, kill every fascist, unquote. According to Heavy, Betts also shared posts about concentration camps, that's in quotes, concentration camps at the border, and wrote, quote, cut the fences down, slice ice tires, throw bolt cutters over the fences, unquote. His profile specified his preferred pronouns as he, him. As of Sunday, Dayton police said they had no proof of Betts' motive. Elizabeth?
Yes, and here's still a little more on him. Ohio shooter was a radical leftist who supported Elizabeth Warren, and this was PrisonPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson, August 5th. While the media have been quick to blame President Trump for the mass shooting in El Paso, they are noticeably quieter about the mass shooter in Ohio who described himself as a socialist, praised Antifa, and expressed support for Elizabeth Warren. Before it was suspended last night, Connor Betts' Twitter feed made it clear that he was a left-wing fringe extremist. Amongst other things, Betts described himself as a leftist, tweeted, I want socialism, tweeted Warren, I'd happily vote for, retweeted Bernie Sanders numerous times, retweeted Antifa accounts numerous times, tweeted, kill every fascist, tweeted, burn the world to the ground to start the new one, repeatedly tweeted, hail Satan, expressed praise and sympathy for the Antifa terrorist who attempted to firebomb an ICE facility, calling him a martyr, used Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's concentration camp rhetoric, tweeted, vote blue, for God's sake, wore a patch that said, against all gods, expressed support for the punch a Nazi meme, retweeted right-wing watches Jared Holt, advocated for gun control. Chris Menahan has archived all this and more right here. And there's more, Lou.
Yes. Here's more amplification on Connor Betts' maniac tweets from the Daily Signal and the Daily Caller News Foundation. Dated August 5th, 2019, the shooter identified in the deadly attacks early Sunday in Dayton, Ohio, appears to have had a Twitter account filled with far-left rhetoric and comments about guns. Police said Connor Betts, 24, opened fire in downtown Dayton, killing nine, including his sister, and wounding or injuring 27 others. The attack came 14 hours after police said Patrick Cruzius, 21, murdered 22 and wounded or injured 24 others Saturday in an El Paso, Texas shopping area. The now suspended Twitter account included retweets about attacks against fascists, comments about guns, and support for Satan, Heavy first reported.
Now, we must highlight that last one, support for Satan. That might get lost in this long shopping list of things, you know, supporting Antifa. Supporting Satan is something big. We remember that video series that we watched years ago, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Remember that? Lou?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And there was a place, was it on Route 66? Supposedly people met the devil there and they would sell out. There was somebody who played, I believe he was a guitarist, and he was very inferior till he sold his soul to Satan, and then he was a prodigy. He was just a genius. We would have to relook at some of these figures, like the Beatles, like Elvis Presley. We would have to question a lot of the celebrity people, Dolly Parton. We would have to look at these people. We would have to wonder where they should be. Should we as Christians be turning away from the celebrity culture? Are we really being bamboozled? So this guy supported Satan. Pick it up, Lou.
Yes, photographs from the Twitter account look similar to those that currently circulating identifying Betts. One photo tweeted out is of a new tattoo, which can be partially seen from a photo used in articles about the shooting. Tweets referred to Dayton, and apparently family members had commented on some tweets. Connor Betts appears to have tweeted out about Dayton, Ohio, which is where the shootings occurred. Betts appears to identify himself as he, him, and this is in quotes now, it's a long series, he slash him slash anime fan slash metalhead slash leftist slash I'm going to hell and I'm not coming back.
Now, we must comment here, as Christian broadcasters, can we see how the reprobate mind has ruined our youth? Now, this is an extreme example, but he is a product of our culture, the video games, the gender confusion. Nothing is secure on the rock of ages. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lou and I have been greatly helped. We're certainly struggling along to keep this program on air, but 2 years ago, it was hopeless, wasn't it, Lou? We
yes,
were
that's
hopelessly
right.
in
yep.
debt, and I began praying, Lord, we're trying to do, we're flawed people, but we're trying to do your will. We're trying to speak out like you told us to do till the last city is wasted. That scripture I knew was for us. Cry out until the last city is wasted. And I said, please bring us out of debt. Well, it's a lot different to owe something like $8,000 than $51,000. Yes, whoever you are out there, if you have an impossible problem, some of you have problems in your family. I know there's a person in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, sometimes who writes to us, send us some money, asks for desperate prayer. I had a lot of trouble with my family, but you know, by keeping my faith and by letting Jesus take the burdens when we can't carry them, you hand them over to Jesus and you keep your faith. He will do miracles beyond what you can imagine, and that means family troubles. It means deep, deep, terrible problems in families, dysfunctional problems. If you're broke, you're sick, you're tired. Actually, when Lou came back to the bedroom in 1994, and there I was sitting crippled with a Lyme disease, and he turned to me and said, I've had a flash. You're going to be well. And if someone had said to me at that point, you're going to be walking like a normal person, except you can't go up and down steps using both feet the same way. But you won't use a cane. You won't use a walker. People will not even know you had trouble. I would have laughed. And if the person had said, you will be doing a radio work, a ministry, a watchman, a warning program for Christians that will reach from Canada to Costa Rica, I would have said, what? They're crazy. Wouldn't I?
Oh, yes.
You would have said, what is this?
Yeah.
We had forgotten years earlier when I stood in front of your bachelor book collection, when I saw this golden light surround the books and I felt these words in my heart. I didn't hear a voice, but it was, this is your destiny. And it has been our destiny. This is so important that we bring out these things, this aspect of this young man, this horribly demented, transformed man, this young man, by the loss of Christianity in our culture, he might have been a great leader. We need you to pray for your families. We need you to stand up for Jesus Christ. We need you to do everything that the Lord tells you to do. If it's go to your town hall, if it's run for office, if it's talk to your pastor, if it's to tell people to go to our website, dividedkingdomradio.com. It has been miraculously reinstituted by our dear friend and webmistress, Angel. Angel, who heard us long ago on RBN when we were just starting out, and I didn't like the Internet even then. I didn't want Big Brother in my home. God knew this, but God knew you'll have to have a website. So she wrote to us, and she said God told her. I don't think she heard a voice either, but at prayer, God told her to construct a website for us. So she has been faithful all these years, and we are asking God to bless her network like a mustard seed. There it is, KstarTalkRadio.com. We hope you will visit it. We hope, give that phone number again, Lou, where people could call in and hear our program, or you can go to her website and get an app for your smartphones. Let's get that
yes.
number again, Lou.
Yes, the phone number, if you want to listen to that KStar
Talk Radio.
TalkRadio.com is this. 1-605-562-5330. Again, 1-605-562-5330.
And again, our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. What else is on that shopping list, Lou?
Well, he tweeted, and this is, again, Connor Betts, tweeted about gun control and commented on past mass shootings. In one tweet, just this past Friday, the account user retweeted a comment about video games. The tweet commented on rounding up hostages and shooting them, quote, all in the head, one after the other, unquote. Betts appears to have tweeted in 2017, talking about video games, and wrote that a particular game was underrated. The tweet read, quote, no filler, no bullshit, just find problem, kill problem, repeat until no more problem, unquote.
And later in this program, if we have time, we will be getting to a very important, I think it's like a monologue on a radio program, but it's an article by Michael Schneider, and he says how easily the veneer of civilization can be taken down, you see, to where we're all barbarians, and everything is barbaric, because, you see, this is what they're trying to do with the little children. LGBTQ advocacy groups who are pushing the things like Desmond, the activities like little Desmond dancing in the gay bars and having pennies thrown, and the little one who is only about 8 years old in Austin dressing up like Carol Channing. You see, these little children are being robbed of their souls. They're now being made less than human. This is the goal. And it all ties in with AI to where robots will be used to perhaps slaughter the rest of the Christians at one point someday. It's a very bad thing. When we lose our humanity, then we are nothing but animals. Animals sometimes are better and have more feelings for each other than some of these leftists' words, at least. His words there from the video game, they're horrifying, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly are.
Go on.
Yes. This Twitter account also hit pro-Antifa rhetoric and spoke out against fascism. In one of the tweets, he retweeted a photo identifying alleged KKK members attending a rally in Dayton in May. Quote, know your enemies, unquote, he wrote in the tweet. In another one, and we said this earlier, he wrote, this is America. Guns in every corner. Guns in every house. No freedom but that to kill. And that was a tweet he wrote in 2017. The Twitter account retweeted photos and comments about anti-fascism. The account showed support for Senator Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts Democrat, a presidential candidate, as well as tweets supporting Satan. One tweet read, hail Satan. That's in quotes. Hail Satan. Another noted that, quote, Warren has a decent shot, meaning, of course, at the presidency, unquote. I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come around to understanding, Betts wrote, according to Heavy. Police killed Betts within a minute of his opening fire Sunday morning as he attempted to enter a bar, according to video footage. The now-suspended Twitter account shows a contrast from the alleged shooter Saturday in El Paso, who is believed to have had an anti-immigrant agenda. That shooter gave himself up to police and is currently in custody. A Twitter spokesperson told the Daily Caller News Foundation, quote, we proactively removed content that violates our policies and will be engaged with law enforcement as appropriate. The FBI and the Dayton Police Department did not respond to requests for comments in time for publication. Also, InfoWars, and this is a different comment in InfoWars, August 7th, reported that Connor Betts' dark side was darker than dark, that of a real devil worshiper. Videos were taken down with his quotes about raping and killing and drinking blood and how he loves Satan.
And that was raping and killing women, by
yeah,
the way,
that's
specifically.
Right. That's right, yeah.
And I guess some of it was too horrific, even for Alex Jones. And there were certain times of the month for women that certain things would be drunk. There I've said it. I mean, how much farther down can we go without Jesus Christ? I really wonder. And keep any kind of working government. I mean, things are getting pretty bad when they come to Mitch McConnell's home and they threaten to stab him. It was like Tucker Carlson had to move his family out of D.C. If some of you out there don't start praying earnestly, repenting, and standing up what country will we have? Is that it, Lou?
Yes, and now we have a comment from his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yes. This is very instructive about his personality,
from,
I think so.
Yes, and this is from USA Today, Wednesday, August 7th, 2019, by Elizabeth Lawrence. A former girlfriend of Connor Betts, the man who went on a shooting rampage outside a bar in Dayton, Ohio, said a number of warning signs led her to break up with the 24-year-old. Caitlin Adelia Johnson, 24, and Betts briefly dated this spring, NBC reported. She told the Toledo Blade the two met in their psychology class at Sinclair Community College. They bonded over their struggles with mental illness. Johnson said she has depression and anxiety, and Betts told her he was bipolar and had obsessive compulsive disorder. At first, Johnson found Betts, quote, kind and charming, unquote, and intelligent, the Blade reported. She said he was outgoing and willing to start a conversation with any stranger. Johnson soon learned he had a dark side. Johnson said Betts showed her footage of a mass shooting on their very first date. In text, Betts showed off his knowledge of acts of violence. Johnson asked him, in the text, do you know tragedies from every city? He responded, quote, a fair bit of them. And then he put a little smiley face, as you can do with a typewriter or a computer keyboard using a colon and a letter D.
And you see, that's the laughter of Satan.
Yes. Johnson also recalled Betts taking her to a gun range where they used rifles. She said she noticed another red flag when he took her to deliver a threatening letter to the house of his ex-girlfriend. According to the Blade, when Johnson broke up with Betts, she asked a friend if she could stay over, because she was, quote, scared that he might try to hurt me or stalk me, unquote. One of Betts' victims was his sister, 22-year-old Megan Betts. Johnson told the Blade that as far as she knew, he liked his sister. She said he never spoke negatively about Megan, but he did have problems with his parents, Johnson said. In an interview with NBC, Johnson said Betts' actions didn't have any sort of racial or religious motive. Quote, people go every day being perfectly fine with having a mental illness, me included, and he just got the short end of the stick, she said. No support system, unquote. More details about Betts have come to light as people who knew him share their recollections. Former classmates said Betts was suspended from Bellbrook High School for compiling a, quote, hit list, unquote, of those he wanted to kill and a rape list of those he wanted to rape. The hit list was found written in a school bathroom. Also, a classmate who starred in a senior year theater production with Betts said he repeatedly threatened to kill her. A Twitter account appearing to be Betts's had tweets labeling himself as a leftist, and that's in quotes, leftist, and a supporter of presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, the Associated Press reported. Police have not confirmed the account is linked to Betts. Elizabeth, what about the brother of the Parkland victim?
Yes, this is by Valerie Richardson, again, the Washington Times, Tuesday, August 6th. Brother of Parkland victim accuses Dems of hypocrisy for ignoring leftist Dayton shooter. Hunter Pollack, the brother of Parkland mass shooting victim Meadow Pollack, accused Democrats of hypocrisy Monday for focusing on the El Paso shooting suspect's apparent white nationalist agenda while remaining silent on the left-wing beliefs of the Dayton gunman. If you look at it, it almost seemed like the media and Democrats were eager to hear that the El Paso shooter was a white supremacist, Mr. Pollack told Fox host Laura Ingraham. They used that to just simply bash Donald Trump. The suspected El Paso shooter, Patrick Cruzius, 21, is believed to have posted a racist manifesto on 8chan, attributing Saturday's attack on the Hispanic invasion of Texas, prompting Democrats to accuse President Trump of egging on racists with his border security push. Among those who have blasted Mr. Trump over the El Paso shooting, which left 22 dead, were 2020 Democratic presidential contenders Corey Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Kamala D. Harris, Bernard Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. The ultimate amplifier on this kind of hate is the bully pulpit of the White House, Mr. Buttigieg said on MSNBC. There was no such reaction to self-described pro-Satan leftist Connor Betts, 24, who opened fire Sunday in an entertainment district in Dayton, Ohio, killing nine. He was shot and killed by police. On an account verified by Heavy.com, the gunman said he could happily vote for Ms. Warren, promoted Antifa, and declared, "I want socialism, and I'll not wait for idiots to finally come around to understanding." He had also tweeted favorably about Bernie Sanders. But when the media found out the Dayton, Ohio shooter was a Bernie Sanders socialist supporter, they were absolutely silent, Mr. Pollack said. "The hypocrisy that they show is absolutely vile. It's disgusting, and I hope that I can expose a little of it tonight on your show." And I think we now move to a little more amplification, Lou.
Yes, of course, we have the predicted outcome of the Dayton shootings in the headline that appeared in USA Today, August 7th. Expanded background checks proposed in Ohio. Governor also wants...
Why am I not surprised?
Because...
Mr. and Mrs. America, we're going to take your guns, said Dianne Feinstein.
Yep, and they're going to try. They're going to use every excuse they can find. So, anyway, this was for Dateline Columbus, Ohio. A crowd of frustrated mourners yelled at Ohio Governor Mike DeWine on Sunday night to, quote, do something, unquote, about gun violence. DeWine said he heard them. DeWine said at a news conference Tuesday morning, quote, some chanted, do something. And they were absolutely right. We must do something. And that is exactly what we are going to do, unquote. DeWine unveiled several proposals Tuesday aimed at curbing gun deaths. Among them, a red flag law, background checks for most firearms purchases, more access to mental health treatment, and harsher penalties for felons who use guns. Whether DeWine's solutions have any hope of becoming law depends on Ohio's GOP-controlled legislature, which has been wary of restricting gun rights and rejected proposals similar to the governor's in recent years. Red flag laws allow family members or police to go through the courts to seek removal of firearms from individuals who they fear will cause harm to themselves or others. States with such laws allow guns to be removed temporarily before a judge grants a longer-term, quote, emergency risk protection order, unquote.
And something like that has occurred already in Maryland under a red flag law. It looks like the proper law and order procedures were shortcutted, possibly. Go ahead.
Interesting, yes. DeWine's variation on the idea was crafted to satisfy concerns from gun rights advocates. Guns could not be removed before a court, quote, safety protection order, unquote, is granted, which must happen within 3 days of the initial complaint. The National Rifle Association has supported emergency risk protection orders if they protect gun owners' due process rights, not to have their property seized without a valid legal reason. DeWine wants background checks on all gun sales except those between family members and a few other scenarios. That wouldn't be new ground for DeWine, who voted for background checks on all sales at gun shows while in Congress. The NRA believes that any effort should be structured to fully protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens while preventing truly dangerous individuals from accessing firearms. And that was a quote I just read. The NRA, and that was by the NRA's lobbying arm, stating on its website.
Now we have this article by Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog, August 5th, 2019. This was prisonplanet.com. America is not going to be a free and open society any longer. They're excerpts. You see, Lou and I were struck by this very, very important monologue. And because it reflects on the threats to American liberty and the immorality of a Christian nation losing its faith, and it's being overtaken by violence, tyranny, and tyranny is just not the answer. Tyranny and taking away the guns is not the answer. So Michael Snyder says, Lou and I are going to bring this to you, whenever a tragic act of violence makes national headlines, the calls to give up more of our freedoms and liberties in exchange for the promise of increased security becomes deafening. But if we take another step toward becoming an authoritarian society, every time something horrible happens, eventually we won't have any of the basic liberties and freedoms that previous generations of Americans fought so hard to secure for us. Unfortunately, voices like mine are becoming increasingly rare, and the American people seem to want a society that will shelter them from anything that could possibly go wrong. Of course, there has never been such a society in all of human history, and we won't be able to create one either. No governmental system can eliminate the problem of evil, and bad things sometimes happen to good people. And without a doubt, the mass shootings that we witnessed over the weekend were absolutely horrific. In less than 24 hours, 29 American lives were lost between these two mass shootings, and this has greatly shaken the entire nation. In a country that has become nearly numb to men with guns opening fire in schools, at concerts, and in churches, the back-to-back bursts of gun violence in less than 24 hours were enough to leave the public stunned and shaken. Sadly, these are not isolated incidents. As our society has become less moral, we have seen an escalation of violence all over the country.
And Michael Snyder continues. As I have been warning for years, the thin veneer of civilization that we all take for granted is steadily disappearing. At one time, you could walk down the streets in most communities in America without worrying that someone would suddenly gun you down. But that is no longer a safe assumption. And I'll just interject. From the time I was a little boy to the time I left home at age 21, my parents never had a key that would fit the front door of their house.
No, we didn't either, Lou.
Yep.
In Pennsylvania, but go ahead.
And Michael Snyder continues, and in some areas, things are getting really, really bad. Just check out what happened in Chicago over the weekend. In Chicago, at least 3 people have been killed and 37 more injured since Friday evening in shootings within city limits, including 22 people shot Sunday in less than 4 hours, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. In particular, a mass shooting that took place near a children's playground was especially tragic. As the Epoch Times, Jack Phillips reports, at least 7 people were shot and wounded on August 4th as they gathered near a children's playground on Chicago's west side. The people gathered at 1:20 a.m. as they stood in the park on the 2900 West Roosevelt Road when a person opened fire from a black Chevy Camaro, said Chicago police. So why didn't this mass shooting get the same kind of coverage that the other mass shootings received? Could it be that it is because it didn't neatly fit the agenda that the mainstream media is trying to promote? The city of Baltimore is another major American city where violence is completely and utterly out of control. In fact, there is only one other nation on the entire planet that has a higher homicide rate than Baltimore. According to World Atlas, the murder capital of the globe is Honduras, where there are 90.4 homicides per 100,000 people. Baltimore has 56 homicides per 100,000 people, edges out the number 2 spot ahead of Venezuela, where there are 53.7 homicides per 100,000 people. As the violence across our country continues to escalate, the calls to restrict our Second Amendment rights are going to become overwhelming. But taking away our Second Amendment rights is not going to solve the problem. Instead, it will just take the guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. The truth is that the El Paso shooter picked a gun-free zone for a reason. When they know that their targets will be sitting ducks, that just makes things even easier for the mass shooters. And the bad guys will always find ways to get guns. Just look at the city of Chicago. They have some of the harshest gun laws in the entire nation, but they also lead the country in gun deaths. Unfortunately, logic doesn't tend to work with those that love authoritarianism. Whenever something happens, they want the government to do, quote-unquote, something. And that something almost always involves eroding our most basic rights. I wish that it wasn't true, but this is where our country is heading. Americans have been trained to believe that the government should take care of them from the cradle to the grave and should do all that it can to shield them from everything bad that can possibly happen in life. Sadly, every time such a totalitarian, quote-unquote, utopia has been attempted throughout human history, it has always ended very badly, And that will be the case here as well. That was by Michael Snyder.
Yes, of the Economic Blog. And yes, we must move on to the idea that the socialists, these young people, are being brainwashed to think they can have free college, they can have free health care, they can have this easy little world. And I think as an example here, it's a little humorous, but it's the Young Americans Against Socialism group was outing the Democratic Socialists of America. The DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, their convention. It's the largest socialist organization in the U.S. It had its convention interrupted by one, quote, comrade complaining of sensory overload from guys whispering in the room, and another grabbing the microphone to demand the end of gendered language. This is as silly as a Monty Python sketch. And, of course, this has led to widespread mockery, but we let us not let down our guard because of Satan's silly little DSA smokescreen hiding the serious dangers of leftist groups in America like Antifa. Last week, Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines introduced a resolution forcefully condemning what he called the failed experiment of socialism, warning that the United States had two paths to take, with one leading to freedom and the other, complete government control, undermining our Constitution and our American way of life. And we have a report on a rather unknown organization that we'll just start to look at, but you'll have to tune in next week to hear about it, the Institute for Policy. And this is a group that has been rather quietly kept on the sidelines. Here's a little excerpt from Gary Kaw's Hope for the World Update, Summer 2019 newsletter. The IPS has spent 66 years getting U.S. spies killed, calling for revolutionary change to the Constitution, defending communism and terrorism around the world, and blaming it all in the United States. IPS follows the classic Leninist design of having a revolutionary cell of politically motivated activists attacking the U.S. political system writ large, according to John Tierney at the Conservative Capital Research Center. And we're going to get more into that. We know we will be doing that. But you see, we have to highlight another little article from PrisonPlanet.com. We won't have time to get into it a lot till next week, but it's Swedish media refuses to report dark skin description of 10 men who rape women. You see, that's where we're going to be. If we allow Antifa, we allow the weathermen grown old and all their influence through the Obama years, if we allow all of that to bring socialism here, we will have no freedom of the press. We will have no freedom. Your lives will be changed forever. So do pray for our country. Do pray for President Trump to remain strong and to be under a Christian influence to guide him. Do pray for our program, The Divided Kingdom. We just thank you, listeners. We love you. And please write to us at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. God bless you and good night.